Recording has now started. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our call number 33 on the 19th of May, 2015 for the CCWG on Enhancing ICANN's Accountability. I remind you to please mute your line if you're not speaking. And I would like to, of course, go through the roll call and at this stage ask if there's anyone that is in the phone bridge that is not connected to the AC room so we can add his or her name to the roll call. Is there anyone on the phone bridge that is not connected to the AC room at this point? Okay, so hearing no one, then the roll call will be those who are actually connected to the AC room. And I do remind you to please mute your lines if you're not speaking. We have a little bit of a background noise. And well, as usual, I remind you to fill in your statement of interest if you haven't done so by now. I urge you to do this at your earliest convenience, and please contact staff if you have any problems or you need any help with creating your wiki account. Staff will be, of course, happy to help you to solve any problem that has kept you from filing your statement of interest. And, well, it's been a week off. I think that we've all enjoyed a week off from work of the CCWG and having ICANN's accountability. And with no further delay, I would like to pass the floor to my co-chair, Thomas Rickert, for the second point in the agenda. So, Thomas, could you please take the floor?
Yes, certainly. Thank you very much, Leon, and hello, everybody. This is Thomas Rickert. In the second agenda point, we would like to briefly discuss what we heard from the community so far. As you will recall, we had two webinars on the 11th of May, and also we had a session with the board, which some of you attended, and some questions have been asked during these occasions, and we are now in the phase where we compile answers to the questions that we got, and we plan to publish a Q&A with respect to those areas so that we make the areas where the community has questions or concerns available to everybody who's interested. So this is a document that is currently being assembled and that is going to be made available on the CCWG wiki space very shortly. Now, what we've heard is that there seems to be some uncertainty and some questions with respect to the concept of unincorporated associations, so interested parties are uncertain as to what the requirements for their creation are, whether there are any additional requirements for internal governance, the governance of these. So, you know, a couple of questions surrounding this topic. The second area, let me just scroll down, was with respect to recalling board members. So the question was what criteria would be removed to would be used to remove the director, and what information would be made available on that. Then there were some questions with respect to the IRP, and that was relating to the independence of the experts, if the process is still paid by ICANN, about the binding nature and the final nature of IRP decisions, and some more questions with respect to that. And there have been questions surrounding the reconsideration process and the ombudsman. Also, we had some questions or one question with respect to the AOC and with respect to stress tests and timeline. I'm not going to go through all of these, but we, I think what we've seen is that there are some particular areas where the community has more questions. So we might wish to think more about that. All in all, I guess what we can say is that the number of questions during the webinars was relatively low. Also, when we met with the board, we did not get too many questions at this stage. You know, some questions for clarification, but not so many questions on concerns or alternatives. And we think that this is due to the fact that people use these opportunities, both the board as well as the other community members, to better understand our proposal, then dive more deeply into substance, and then get back to us again. So we see this more or less as a starting point, but we would very much like to hear from you whether in your engagement with your respective communities, whether you had more feedback or questions that you could share with the whole group. Tijani's hand is up. Tijani.
Thank you, Thomas. Tijani speaking. I think that Shirin Chalabi had a very good question. He asked why we are treating the board directors differently. Said that normally a director of the board has to act in the interest and in the benefit of the organization and not of the of the constituency that appointed him or her. So he said why it is this constituency who triggered the removal of the board director and not the whole community, while those who are appointed by the NOBCOM needs to have the whole community to trigger their removal. I think this is a very important question, and we need to consider it carefully. I was against the recalling the board members in the work team one, because I had other idea about it, but nevertheless, it is now in our report. But I think that we have to consider this remark, very important remark, and I think there is a rationale behind it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I guess it's good of you to mention that point. You will recall that we had some discussion in this group whether or not we should deal with the removal of individual directors in Workstream 1 or in Workstream 2. And it was felt that since SOs and ACs can remove their respective directors anyway, that it would be an easy thing to include it in Workstream 1. And some, not all of you, including yourself, Tijani, felt that it was an important measure for the community to have to be able to recall their respective or to remove their respective directors. It now turns out that obviously there seems to be some confusion around this concept, and maybe we need to be clearer that with the possibility to remove individual directors, we're just stating what's already the legal situation. So we are not adding additional rights to SOs and ACs, and that for all other areas of removal, we would actually have a common standard of review for those cases. Because I, you know, just to be crystal clear, I think Shireen's main point was that when it comes to dismissing individuals or the whole board, the same set of standards should be applicable, i.e., if they don't act in the best interest of the whole community and not only with respect to their respective groups. And I think that we might need to be a little bit more focused or clearer in our report to make that distinction between the current legal situation, which remains unaltered, and the new community mechanism or community power that we're defining. I think I saw Josh stand up. Josh, do you want to speak? If so, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. For some reason, whenever I put my hand up, it gets put back down. So this is Josh Hoffheimer speaking. Yeah, Thomas, I just wanted to add to what you were stating. There may be some confusion in sort of the rights that are afforded to remove a member for cause versus without cause. And what we did focus on in laying out the board or laying out the community powers or the powers that would be available to members was the ability to remove a director without cause. So the representative organization or representative member that appoints the particular director by statute under California law has the ability to remove that director without cause. So you know, if the at-large committee had appointed a particular director, the at-large committee could remove that director for whatever reason it had in mind and replace that person with another. A for-cause removal is a different situation, and that's a power that is generally reserved to the board. There may be some discussion, you know, in Workstream 2 or otherwise, there may be some discussion that is given to what does it mean to have a for-cause situation with respect to a board member. But typically it would be for breach of the fiduciary duties that are enumerated in the bylaws, and it would require some vote and a threshold of the board to remove that director for cause. But so there still can be kind of community action, if you will, but it's the community action that takes place at the level of the board of directors of ICANN to remove directors for cause, but removal of an individual director on a not-for-cause basis or without reason can only be done by the member that appoints that director or selects that director. So I hope that clarifies.
Thanks very much, Josh. That's indeed very helpful. Let me just note that Jordan stated in the chat that we're talking about the removal without cause, but I would suggest that we mark this topic as an action item for Work Party 1 to take a look at. Next in queue is Kabuz, please.
Yes, good day to everybody. Thanks to Gosh that clarified the situation in the document that is published. It is not quite distinctively mentioned. We should mention removal of individual board without cause or without reasons, and removal of individual board with reason, and we have to clearly explain that. Now, the question is not only this. The question is what was discussed by one of the board members. As soon as a director is designated by a community, let us say, for example, at large, that director is no longer serving that particular community. It's serving the entire community. It has a collegial responsibility. Therefore, that particular community could not, without cause, legally take that board member from its duty because its reason may be that such board member has not acted in accordance with interests of that particular community. However, that could be contrary to the fact that the accusations or the statement was not correct because that board has acted in accordance with collegial responsibility. Therefore, we need to clarify whether initiation of removal of the board member by a particular community designated that is started, but the removal requires the collective decision of the entire communities all together, because we could not say that this board member has not performed responsibility for this particular community, whereas it might have it done in the interest of entire community. This is something which is not clear. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavus. That's well noted, and I had asked for an action item to be noted for Work Party 1 to take another look at that section of the report. Josh?
Yeah. I did want to respond to that. Kavus, I don't think you're representing that correctly. Let me be clear. The board, and let's use specific examples. If the at-large committee appointed a director, certainly that director has a fiduciary duty to ICANN. They can still, in the exercise of that duty, they can still reflect and bring with them the experience, the concerns, and the considerations of the community that appointed the committee that appointed him. But more importantly, even if that board member is doing everything that board member is supposed to be doing, the at-large committee could remove him without cause, him or her. They could decide that they don't want to have any red-haired directors anymore that they appointed, and they could simply remove him because the person has red hair. And that is their statutory right as a member to remove their director that they select. And it doesn't matter that this person was acting in a way that was, it doesn't matter how they were carrying out their duties. If the committee that appoints the particular director is not satisfied with the work of that director, it can remove him and or her and replace that person with somebody else. This is the issue of when a larger group can take an action as a collective and can impose their will on the member that selects a director is one that can be taken if there is a for-cause termination. But I just want to be clear, a member can remove the director that it selects at any time for no reason. Full stop.
Thomas, please, can you add me to the list, Sebastian?
Sebastian, yes. Okay, I had closed the queue after Tijani, but there seems to be the need for dwelling on this a little bit longer. So, Sebastian, I'm going to close the queue after you spoke. So let's move to Tijani, and then Kavus, and then Sebastian.
Thank you, Thomas. I think that the problem is that it's not clear in the report. This issue of with reason and without reason. And I think that removal of the board members without reason is already there. We are not adding anything, so we don't have to mention it in our report. It's not a new thing. It's something which already exists. But we have to consider the case of the removal with cause. And the removal with cause, Shirin Chalabi is right, must be the same for the board members appointed by the community and board members appointed by the NAMCOM. Means that the trigger of the removal must be done by the whole community, not by the considered SO or AC. I think this is the way to make things clear. Not speak about removal without cause because it already exists. It's not a new power we are giving. It exists already. And speak about what we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tijani, Kavus?
Yes. I don't think that we could say full stop. It is not full stop. It is one interpretation that a particular community could have remove its nomination or its board member without cause, while that board has acted in accordance with collegial responsibility and in general has acted in accordance with interests of the whole community, but not only interests of particular community. So there is another way to do that. It is not full stop. It's still to be discussed. That is one point. And then if, according to Ghosh, that board member could be removed by that community, so what is the threshold? The 66% is within that particular community, or 66% is with the entire community? That is also not clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Fawaz. Sebastian?
Yes, thank you, Thomas. This discussion is very troublesome for me. Maybe I don't understand the English, but you are speaking with example in present or in past, and you want to talk about the future. And I would like very much that you show me where it's possible for a community to recall a board member currently. Second point, we are becoming completely schizophrenic, and the board member will be even more because they are asked to be independent from where they were selected from. And I can tell you, as a previous board member, that the number of times I wanted to talk about what Art Large wanted to get or wanted to defend, and I was called by my colleague to say, you are not the voice of the ALAC, was so often that I can't count anymore. My third point is that don't forget that the community elect each 3 years a board member. And I don't see why and how within these 3 years you need to have any recall, and specifically for any call. And now I am sorry with the lawyer who talked, but I hope that his word was not his mind, because if because I have red hair, I can be recalled from the board, then we need to close this organization. It's not acceptable to hear that in our world today, because if not, it's not the red hair, but it's because I am black, or because I am a woman, or because I am handicapped, or because whatever things, then I hope that ICANN will never go into that direction, really. And the full stop, it's not acceptable either. It's not because you are the lawyer that you can say full stop. We are the community, we are the group in this talking about that, and I have too much the impression that this our document is with too much full stop from the lawyer. Then we need to remove those full stop and to reopen the discussion. And my last point is that I just want to recall you that we have not, this document, it's not a document with the agreement of everybody. It's the best way we thought all together to go to discuss with the community. But it's not to say that one solution is better than the other. I will stop here, not as a full stop, but because of a question of time, but really, I think that maybe my experience, and I guess I am the only one member of this group who were in the board of ICANN, may be taken into account. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Chris. And Jordan has raised his hand, and I would...
It was Sebastian, it was not Chris.
Did I misspeak?
That's the first. Sebastian and Bertrand have been confused together many times, but I think it's the first time Sebastian and I have ever been confused.
That's
yes, Chris, definitely.
Okay, so thank you very much, Sebastian. Jordan has raised his hand, and as rapporteur for Work Party 1, I would like to give him the floor to maybe make some closing remarks. I think what we can obviously state is that there has been some confusion, maybe because of a lack of clarity, and if we can add clarity to the report, that would be most appreciated. But let's hear Jordan on this point.
You almost did it. You almost finished the summing up. It's Jordan here. Everyone, good morning or afternoon or whatever it is. Look, we can go around the blocks on this, but I think it's clear that we do intend for
it to be
Excuse me. Caboos, can you please mute your line? We can hear you speaking in the background. Thank you. Jordan, please continue.
Somewhat disconcerting. So we do intend for it to be without cause, but the way the report is worded doesn't set that out. So we do need to be clearer about that. There's no issue with the fiduciary duty problem here. Board members have those. Whoever gets appointed has a fiduciary duty to the corporation. That isn't going to change whether there's an explicit power to remove board members or not. And the ability for the members to remove their appointed directors, members or designators, without cause gives them the power to deal with any causes that come along. We don't need to litigate whether there's a power already nascent or existent for the SOs and ACs to do that, because the whole point of this reform effort is to make sure that it's all clear and explicit and transparent. So, you know, noting that the issue needs clarifying is helpful. I think that our intent has been clear all the way through internally. We just need to make sure that what we write is also clear externally.
Thanks very much, Jordan. Rosemary, I guess you have also made a point in the chat. I'd really like to close the queue on this point, which I've tried twice, but now I think we need to move to the next question. And that is potential additional webinars. I think the question is twofold. Will we or should we have additional webinars? We had two so far, which were quite well attended. And our question to you is whether you thought the webinars were helpful. If you think that there is area for improvement, which I'm sure there is, you can have the floor now to voice your concerns or make suggestions, but we can also take that offline as you wish. And also the question whether you would like to have us conduct more webinars. So can we get some views on that, please? And again, for those who are not speaking, please mute your lines. Tijani's hand is up. Tijani, please.
Thank you, Thomas. I don't think we need more webinars, because the people who were interested attended the two webinars we did. And as you said, there wasn't a lot of questions. There was some questions of clarification, but we didn't feel that there is an alternative view or something like this. So I don't think that it is helpful to make other webinars. Thank you.
Thanks, Tijani. That's very helpful. Any more views? Okay, so I think that there's no spontaneous feedback on that at the moment. As mentioned, please share your suggestions or concerns on the mailing list or contact us directly if you wish. We will discuss whether we will drop the idea of additional webinars or maybe hold a webinar on a specialized topic, let's say to dwell on the concept of unincorporated associations a little bit more for people to understand that better. But as a first step, we are considering, or we will further work on the Q&A that people can get their questions answered. That will be further populated as we get more questions. And also we're working on some videos that we will share with the community for them to better understand. I don't see any more hands, nor do I see any further comments in the chat. So we can move to the third agenda item, and that's the CWG submission. And for that, I'm going to hand over to Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Mathieu Vey speaking. Hello, everyone. It's been a long time without CCWG calls. And this particular agenda item is in anticipation of the closing of the public comment on the second draft proposals from the CWG stewardship. We, with co-chairs, we have drafted a proposal for a co-chair submission to this process, which ends on May the 20th, so tomorrow. And we've circulated this draft on the mailing list. We have received a number of comments. The goal of here is to ensure clarity both on the groups as well as for the community about how the two proposed sets of proposals interact and are interrelated, and whether or not we are addressing the expectations from the CWG. And so you have seen, you have in the AC room the document, the draft, in an interesting format. But I would say that so far we've had a comment about the budget aspects. It was noted that there is there might be a budget gap because the TWG is proposing the creation of a new ICANN subsidiary, the PTI, Post-Transition IANA, and which would probably have its own budget, and there is a need for a specific review of this budget, at least as outlined by the CWG. So currently, based on this draft, I've noted a suggestion to note that the CWG would need to develop a proposed process to review the IANA-specific budget, which could be made a component of the bigger review, and that would still need a little bit of coordination between our two groups. However, there's no obstacles in principles to coordinating our proposals on that aspect. So the point here is to check whether there are any other comments on this draft, and if there are none, then we would probably proceed with submitting a comment to the CWG. I see Sharon's hand is up. Please, Sharon.
Thank you. So on the draft letter, just a couple of comments from the CWG perspective. There is a reference, I believe it's in the fourth bullet, to the CSC, the Customer Standing Committee, and a reference to that needing to be created under the bylaws. And there's a note that the requirement is not specifically addressed in the CCWG proposal. It is actually addressed in Section 1.4 on page 12. So I think that response can just be tied now to the proposal, because I think there is an appropriate response from CCWG on that one. And then the second point is on the bullet just above that, which refers to the IANA function review. There's one aspect of the IANA function review that is referenced in the CWG proposal and is not fully reflected in the CCWG proposal, and that is the separation review or separation process. And that is the possibility that as part of the IANA function review, one outcome of that could be a recommendation for an RFP or some kind of a separation. And that process is being worked on by CWG. So it may be that the appropriate thing to reference in this letter is simply that you acknowledge that is in process, and then once CWG has further details on that, to advise CCWG in order that CCWG can consider it and ensure that it's appropriately addressed in its proposal. And that's all I had. Thank you,
Sharon. This is valuable input. Very useful. Cavus?
Yes, Matthew, thank you very much. I think the two questions is very valid and on the point, but perhaps we could have one general paragraph before doing that, as in the following context, saying that any review or any decision relating to accountability with regard to the naming would be a subset of review and accountability in general. Therefore, we should say that although in respect to budget or CSC, we could have a different explanation, but it is understood that the requirement of the CWG is embedded and is part of the general requirement of accountability. It should be understood for the community. These two cases are the one we raise now. There might be some other cases. Therefore, we should make this clear for the community that the general aspect we address the issue would cover the requirement of the CWG. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. We'll try and find a way to address this, but we need to make sure we don't overstep into territories that we haven't discussed yet. So I would try to keep our submission as close as possible as our existing report. But I understand the idea, which is basically our system is going to be flexible to your expectations if they move in the future. And that's is there any other comments? If not, then I would ask for an action item to be added for the co-chairs to take these inputs into account and then submit the comments into the public forum, comment forum on the CWG. So we will do that by tomorrow. And that will close our item number 3 on our agenda, and I'm moving to item number 4, which is the planning for the analysis of our own public comment period. And I will rely on Adam, who has worked out a couple of details about the process right after our public comment period closes. Adam, could you provide us with some of these short updates about what to expect after June the 3rd?
Yes, can you hear me? Adam speaking.
Yes.
It's worth noting that at the end of the public comment on June the 3rd, we will have just about 2 weeks until we will meet in Buenos Aires on the 19th. And this is, of course, including some travel days for all of us, so we do not have very much time. Staff, when the comments come in on June the 3rd, and this is actually something that we will do on a rolling basis as the comments come in now, and I note that today we have 3 comments, that we will be populating the public comment review tool. This is a common tool that many of you will be familiar with. Alice actually sent notes about this to the CCWG list on March 24th, so you'll be able to find those in the archives or your own archives. We've suggested that we should break this review down into 14 parts. This will reflect the 13 question areas that we describe in the proposal, and then a one catch-all segment for any other issues. And this will be a task for staff to populate. It basically means that all of the comments are reviewed and put into these subsections so that the rest of the CCWG members can see what has been presented and is in those different topic areas. That is an ongoing task that we're beginning now to make sure that we don't just wait right until the very end. Excuse me. But it's worth noting that comments do come in very much towards the end of a comment period,
as Mathieu noted, there's only a day or so left for the CWG, and they have less than 10 comments at the moment. Their first public comment period had 49 comments, so I think we're really looking at some back end of things really do come in towards the end of these processes, so it will be a lot of work in a short period of time. We will try and get the review to available to you, this review format available to you and the working parties by June the 6th, so we'll have 2 or 3 days to get those comments together. And after that, it's the responsibility, I think, as the chairs have agreed, that the working parties will do the review of those comments and start looking at how the proposals have been agreed, where there looks to be consensus and where there is less consensus on those issues. And, of course, staff support will be available to the working parties and however it is that you wish to divide up the work. And we will look forward to reviewing that together on June the 19th. I think that's enough from me, Mathieu. Is any questions or just go straight on from that?
Thanks, Adam. Your sound was fading in and out, so I think I would just, from what I understand, and I have the privilege of having had a preview of that, obviously, there's going to be a populating of the comments into the public comment review tool according to the various sections of the report to facilitate analysis by the working parties. Staff will populate the input by June the 7th, and so the amount of time we have to prepare for our face-to-face meeting on June the 19th will be over about 10 days, between the June the 7th and June the 16th. The proposal here is that we allocate the various sections to the working parties, so most of the work of analysis will be done at working party level. And basically 3 days before the face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires will freeze the outcome. So the working parties will have until June the 16th to provide their analysis. And the goal we will have is to assess whether which parts of the report the community is in general agreement on, which parts of the report the community has diverging views on, or which parts of the report are we hearing concerns, and at least mapping out those items so that we can move forward, and Thomas will come later on to what moving forward means. So in terms of logistics, that means that we are going to turn to the work party rapporteurs to plan ahead for this crunch time, and there will probably be a need to accommodate some intense work which might spread across the weekend of June the 13th and the 14th. So we would suggest an action item, and of course we'll take the discussion, we'll open the discussion, but the action item suggested would be for rapporteurs to start planning their meetings, and of course staff to start populating the public comments tool as comments arrive. And with that, this is the time for discussing about this work plan. So Avery, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. This is Avery speaking. I'm a little concerned about this particular process. Once the working parties finish their work and the work was invested into the entire CCWG, it sort of became the CCWG's product. I think that at the very least there should be a walkthrough of all the issues with the entire group before parsing them out, so that the initial view of the entire membership can be dealt with before the working parties start to take it up, so that they're not starting from just a work party perspective, but they're taking the comments plus the overall CCWG initial reactions as their input material. So I don't know how others feel about that, but I'm really concerned about sending it immediately to committee without the full working group having had at least one pass in conversation over it. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Caboose, you're next.
Yes, I fully support Avery's proposal. Thank you.
Okay, so I suppose if moving, taking this into account would mean we set up a dedicated call probably on 6th or 7th of June, probably 7th of June, to have an initial pass through the whole set of comments. We can try and arrange this. I'm seeing no hand up, so we would take that on board. And I am seeing no other comments. I would suggest that we start planning as proposed and move to the next item of our agenda, and which is the organization towards Buenos Aires and beyond, and probably starting with Leon about the legal sub-team. Leon?
Yes, Matthew, thank you very much. This is Leon Sanchez. And, with regards to the legal sub-team, we have thought that it is important that we reorganize how the legal sub-team is working at this stage. As you may recall, the legal sub-team was constituted with three main objectives, being the first one to interview and select the candidate law firms that would interact and provide the independent legal advice required by the CCWG. The second being drafting a scoping document that could serve as initial guidance for interaction with our legal advisors. And the third one being to gather and coordinate the different questions raised not only within the list but also in our calls of the CCWG, so we could then in turn assign them to lawyers for in order to get the right answers from them. So as we come to the public comment period and we look to into a little bit into the future of what we need to do in order to have a finalized proposal, it seems evident that there needs to be a more agile way for interaction between the lawyers and the working parties, which are actually where things are happening and are happening really fast. So this restructuring or this reorganization of the legal sub-team would require that now the lawyers would be interacting more directly with the working parties. So the working parties, of course, would be able to require attendance from the lawyers to their particular calls. And there would also be a task for the legal sub-team. It is not disappearing, but it's rather maybe being a little bit less active. And the legal sub-team will continue to gather those questions that are raised on the main list and in our calls from the CCWG at large, and will, of course, continue to assign those questions that are raised in the general list or in the general CCWG calls. But so far, there would be, of course, less need for the legal sub-team to gather and hold calls on a weekly basis as we were doing it. And this might be something that we need to review, and maybe we would be shifting to a call once every 2 weeks, or maybe even more if it's required, of course. But what I mean is that we must definitely shift the way that the legal staff team is working, and the lawyers would begin to work in a more close way with working parties. So, of course, I would like to thank all the participants from the legal staff team for the great work that has been done. I think that the initial mission that the legal staff team was tasked with has been accomplished. And, of course, as I said, it's a wonderful job that I think that the legal staff team has performed. And we would like to thank you for that. And, of course, look forward to continue the work of the legal staff team under this new vision, with a more agile interaction with the lawyers, of course. So with that, I would like to, of course, open the floor for any comments or suggestions with regards to this new way of function for the legal staff team. I see Caboose's hand is raised. So, Caboose, could you please take the floor?
Yes. Hello, Leon. Good day. I don't have any comment with respect to this new method of work, but there are some principal questions now before us with the way that we discussed with some others within the community. The question is that the way this incorporated association function. Is it possible that one single community, let us say one SO, in case that we go to the natural person with its chair and vice chair, establish that unincorporated associations without participation of any other SO, does that unincorporated association have any power to take any action whatsoever as it is in our document? The second way would be, instead of natural person, we talk of legal entity. In that case, for the unincorporated association, we need minimum two SO or one SO, one AC. Does that too also has the power to act to do some of those things, for instance, recall of the entire board member if there is no other membership? Therefore, it is necessary to clarify the minimum requirement that such unincorporated association is valid, the minimum number of participants, either of the member from the viewpoint of legal entity or member from the viewpoint of natural person. And the last question is that, what is the advantage and disadvantage of legal entity and natural person in regard with that unincorporated association? Is there any deficiency in the natural person with regard to the legal entity with the example that they have given? A chair and vice chair could establish that and could act or could not act on behalf of the whole thing. So there are these legal points which is not clear yet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. I would definitely defer the answer to these questions so we can put them on assignment for the lawyers to provide, of course, rich answers to your questions. So I am taking note of these questions that you have raised at this stage and will, of course, assign them to the lawyers. And we'll have an answer, I believe, pretty soon for this for this question, Skavus. Thank you very much. And I don't know if anyone else wants to comment on this new way of functions for the legal sub-team. Okay, I see no one raising their hand. So I would now like to turn to Thomas for the level of detail expected on the work that we should be doing forward. So, Thomas, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much, Leon. During this section of the call, we would like to discuss with you how we jointly manage our journey from Buenos Aires to consensus recommendations. You will have noted by now that what we're dealing with is quite a huge exercise. So, so far what we've done is we've done two readings on important questions, but we have not done any consensus forming. Certainly the two hearings were aiming at lowering the risk of the whole group being having divergent views or diverging views on individual subjects. So we wanted to make sure that we're moving into the right directions by having these two readings. But after Buenos Aires, after we have had full community input, we will need to make up our minds as to how we formulate or transform our suggestions into consensus recommendations. And I guess that's the ultimate goal. You know, we're all here to form a proposal that is cohesive and comprehensive and that is based on consensus in the CCWG and will very likely be approved by the chartering organization. Also, you will remember that we've discussed in Istanbul that we would try to work from higher-level recommendations to a greater level of detail as time permits, and I guess that this general idea still stands. So we should aim at providing as much detail as feasible to facilitate an implementation at a later stage. Can we move to the next slide, please? Well, actually, I do have slide scroll control, I guess, so I can do it myself. So we would like to suggest to you that we follow the methodology that I'm going to outline to you in the next few minutes. What we're working on is a set of recommendations. So we have different community powers that have their different escalation paths. We have language to be worked on for the bylaws. We have refinements to be made to the IRP and to the reconsideration process. We need to talk about a legal vehicle for these powers, potentially the unincorporated association, but maybe another form depending on how our deliberations evolve. So we think it will be very cumbersome for everyone to follow the discussion if we keep discussing and then in the very last minute say, okay, guys, who agrees to this and who objects, and by that determining consensus. So we think the way to go about with this highly complex project is to try to take stock of separable bits of our work. So we would take individual items and try to confirm consensus on the suggestions that we had in our report and not wait until the last minute for the whole package to be adopted by the group. The risk of failure, again, is higher if we wait until the very last minute. So as a second idea, we would suggest that we try to reach consensus on the higher level recommendations first and then move to greater detail as time permits. And that would basically transform into the phases that you see on the slide in the Adobe room. So what we have now in our report are merely suggestions. That's what we would call phase one. We've come up with suggestions. We've come up with some alternative suggestions for certain questions. And these we need to transform into consensus recommendations. So again, what we have in the report, the level of detail we have in the report, would be suggestions that could become consensus recommendations. And on these recommendations, we will further work to the best extent possible in terms of timing and also in terms of need, actually, work on more detail and make them refined recommendations. And ideally, we would seek or get consensus on the refined recommendations as well. The next phase then would be that we complete our overall proposal, and that would consist of consensus recommendations on all the suggestions that we're making. And these consensus recommendations could either be the consensus recommendations more or less as we have presented them to the community, or refined recommendations with a greater level of detail. And after that, after we've done that, you know, so we've omitted all the steps like approval by the chartering organizations and by the board and ultimately by NTIA, but for our group or for the community, and I, you know, we are representing the community, if you wish, for that matter, we need to consider implementation of oversight. Because in a project such with such complexity as this one, we can't just make recommendations, send them over to the board and walk away. So we need to make sure that there is consistency and to make sure that the implementation that is later being done or the words missing or the details that are surely missing are being developed in the spirit of the CCWG deliberations. So if you take these phases, what does that mean in concrete terms for the outcome of the public comment period? We can think of three different scenarios which Mathieu has briefly touched upon in the earlier section of this call. So we might, hopefully, have a lot of areas where the community agrees with our suggestions. And suggestions for this section one, I mean, where we don't have alternatives, but where we made a suggestion and said, okay, community, do you like this? Then we've asked the community to chime in on alternative proposals, and the community will provide feedback on those. That's different to section one, because in section one we only had one alternative as a suggestion. In section number two, we're providing different alternatives as a response to a particular challenge, policy challenge, let's say. And the third area that can happen is that the community disagrees with suggestions that we make. And all of these three areas will trigger different ways forward, or they require different ways forward. Let's go through them one by one briefly. Now, the first instance that I mentioned was where the community agrees with our suggestion, i.e. where there were no alternatives presented to the community. Our suggestion is that for these areas, we would try to confirm the suggestion as a consensus recommendation. So we will do sort of like a mini consensus call on these individual items to be able to tick them off the list and confirm them as part of the bigger consensus picture. The second area, you will remember, is where we presented alternatives to the community. And for these cases, let's try to transform the community feedback that we got into a consensus recommendation on one alternative. Now, I've added in brackets that there might be the need to work on yet another suggestion in case the community did not think that alternatives A and B, let's say, were good ones, but if the community came up with option C that we haven't envisaged, then we would need to work on that more, and then we would try to form consensus on this further evolved alternative. Third area, and I hope that we're not going to see many of these, is where the community demonstrates substantial disagreement with our suggestion. And that basically takes us back to square one, for these areas, and we need to develop a new suggestion that can hopefully find our group's consensus. So you will note that we have different levels of complexity for all these three areas. The first one is quite easy, the second one might be a little bit more complex, and the third one is the most challenging one. Now, this slide I've presented to you earlier. So just as a reminder, we would have the phases where we have suggestions. That's the phase that we're in now. We would hopefully then have consensus recommendations. We would have consensus on refined recommendations, which have more details as time permits. We have the completion phase, where we put all the consensus recommendations into one document and make that our proposal, and then we would have implementation oversight. And now that we have to allocate resources to deal with all this post Buenos Aires, we suggest that we make it our highest priority to get all the suggestions in our report to phase two stages, phase two being consensus. The second priority would be to get as many of these to phase three, i.e. make them refined consensus recommendations, because the more detail we have, the lesser will be the burden in phase five, which is going to be the implementation oversight. So as we go through the report, and Avri has made this great suggestion that we should digest the feedback that we got in a dedicated session, which we're going to hold, hopefully we'll get to a point where we as a group agree which suggestions have matured sufficiently so that we can take them to the phase two status, i.e. make them consensus recommendations. So that those basically can be ticked off the list for priority one. And then we would allocate small sub-teams that more or less work in sprints to get the work done, so to get as many of these proposals to phase number three, i.e. the refined consensus recommendations. And we would use the existing work party structures, work party one and work party two, with our excellent rapporteurs. So it would basically be allocated to these under the auspices of the work parties, but we might have smaller, specialized teams that can work on the individual subjects in parallel and more or less organize their work themselves. And that would allow for us to have an iterative consensus building. It will help spread the workload more evenly in the weeks to come. Again, we would go from higher level of agreement to greater level of granularity. In all cases, what we provide should be sufficient for implementation, so it should be sufficient a starting point to get the implementation done, but we shouldn't be afraid of leaving blind spots in our report when it comes to glorious detail, because we will have community oversight that is going to help with this. And with that, I've finished my brief overview of what we think would be an appropriate way forward, but we would certainly like to hear your feedback, since this is something that we should more or less all buy into. Camus, please.
Thank you very much for your very substantive and comprehensive thought. Did you discuss it with other people in the CCWG, or is it just views from the co-chairs? It is very, at least at this stage, very general, and I would say a little bit complex. A little bit complex. We need to have a clear idea. One, objectives of what you said. Two, the frameworks. Three, the timing. And four, when you say recommendation, you refer to recommendation that CCWG would send to the board. And that should go and be adopted within the timeline that we have already established. I understood that. After the first public comment, we will insert or consolidate a comment into another proposal which has all the details and so on. And then, would that proposal go into any public comment, or that proposal would not go to any public comment? Question one. Question two, you are going to translate the whole report with the views you have received, comments, into a more concise and simpler document, having very, very broad and general recommendations of two categories, high-level recommendations and other level, whether medium or low, I don't know. And then for each of which, you try to build up consensus. So this, at least for me, is not clear the way that you are going to work. Perhaps we need a little bit more information, the course of action that you propose, that we will reflect on that, and possibly, if you wish, we could comment. If you don't want to comment, that is your idea. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kaboos. You mentioned a couple of points. Let me try to address those. First of all, this approach has been discussed not only by the co-chairs, but also including the rapporteurs. So we tried, or during our preparation for this call, we thought of how to best navigate our work, how to best navigate our group in the next couple of weeks. And we do have the feeling that we want to facilitate things, not make them more complex. And ideally, at the end of the day, the community would just get one report with a set of recommendations, and they wouldn't even notice how we got there. So this is more an internal way of approaching things. The idea to put it in very simple terms is to divide the overall package of recommendations into smaller bits and reach agreement on those bits. And our goal should be that we have consensus on the higher level ideas for the individual items, for all of the areas, and only work to a greater level of detail if time permits. By doing that, we avoid the risk of trying to drill down to a great level of detail and not going anywhere, because we need to be conscious of time. At the same time, we need to make sure that our group, the individuals that are putting volunteer time into this effort, are actually putting their time onto those areas, onto those questions that need to be answered most urgently. And therefore, our proposal is, let's try to mature all the areas of work, may be the community powers, may be the mechanisms, to a level where we have consensus on the higher level recommendations, and only as time permits, drill down into further level of detail. I hope that this answers it. So it's not meant to be an approach to complicate things, but rather to make things easier. And this general idea certainly will need to transform into an overview of the different work areas with their completion status. We have something like that already. We had it for a different purpose, to monitor which questions have undergone first reading and second reading, so we will be able to easily adopt such overview to monitor the status starting in Buenos Aires. Kaboos?
Yes, your idea is very, very constructive, and I think is a positive. But the only thing that, could you provide some example, either now or immediately by sometime tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, just one or two examples of that very good and positive course of action you propose, not to get into the Piaget in French or the problems going to too much in detail. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kaboos. Let me try to give you an example, actually. You will remember that we have the community power to veto or reject a strategic plan or a budget. So we have an escalation path described in the report. We have some rationale described in the report. We have mechanisms to avoid vexatious actions by the community against the budget. So one may be of the opinion, or our group may be of the opinion, that this has sufficient detail to be implemented. And so the idea under this concept would be, if the community doesn't have any major objections with this proposal, that we would take what we have in our report in its current form in our draft report, we take that section speaking to the vetoing or rejection of the budget, strategic plan, and operating plan, and say, okay, does the group accept this as a consensus recommendation? And if the group does, then we would tick that off the list, mark it as a community, as a consensus recommendation, and park it until such time where we have resources available to work on a greater level of granularity to deal with that, i.e. to work on language for the bylaws that would enshrine this or further flesh out the concrete process between the board, the community, and the new community group such as the unincorporated association. So that would be an easy case. Let's say for section number two, where we have alternatives, we ask the community when it comes to recalling individual board members that we have alternatives for dealing with non-com appointees. So we've asked the community, would you like that to be dealt with by the current non-com or by a special non-com existing of former non-com members? So we have asked the community to provide feedback on alternatives. So there is no one solution that has been offered to the community. And in such a case, we are going to analyze what the community has responded, and let's say the community has chimed in and said the current NOMCOM should be dealing with these cases, then we could bring this in front of our group or a sub-team in Work Party 2 to further digest this public comment, see whether it supports it or not, transform these two alternatives in one suggestion, bring that in front of the group, and then we can have a mini consensus call on that specific recommendation. That would be the second area. And where we have convergence, let's say we have favored the designator model and the membership model. Let's say the community came up with a completely different model that nobody of us, including outside council, has ever thought of. Then we would need to go back to square one and have a sub-team work on a completely new approach for that. So these are the three scenarios that we could think of. And in terms of workload, we would try to get consensus recommendations for all areas concerned. So we would try to deal with that as a priority matter in our calls. And where there are alternatives, we would have sub-teams in Work Party 1 or Work Party 2 work on those. And once they have come up with a suggestion that they think could be a consensus recommendation, they would bring it in front of the whole group. And if we have reached this consensus on all areas, we would be good to go to work on greater level of detail and task sub-teams to work on greater granularity. But that is something that we would need to balance and carefully manage our resources to make sure that we focus on the most important things first. Any further comments or objections, support? So there don't seem to be any further interventions from this group. Let me just test whether there are any objections to this approach. Steve's hand is up. Steve.
Thank you, Thomas. No objection. But something I said in the chat is that I think it's highly likely that one of the outcomes of the public comment period will be questions where someone will seek clarity about a proposal that we've described, and our answer to their question may take us in a somewhat new direction. It may, in some cases, cause us, in our clarification, to have to debate and decide upon things that we hadn't yet worked out. So I understand the outcome of the PC, which you have in slide 5, is about suggestions, input, and disagreement. But I think we are more likely to see confusion and questions, and we ought to acknowledge that and be sure that we've answered it. The FAQ is a good start, but we may find that a big chunk of our resources are answering questions as opposed to translating disagreement or input. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. That's a good point. I think we need to take this back to the to our debrief call with the co-chairs and rapporteurs, how we best weave that into the overall workflow. It is my understanding that we would build up the Q&A on a continuous basis. So I think that action would go more or less in parallel. Caboose?
I don't think that the comments made by Steve have any inconsistency with what you propose. What you propose is still valid because what you're doing now, you do the thing in a stepwise course of action. And I think it is a good way to do that. Whether we receive any questions from the community and the way we answer, it still does not change the way that you have proposed. So I think that you could still go ahead with the course of action that you have outlined. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. That's helpful. Sebastian. Sebastian, we can't hear you. Sebastian, you might be talking to a muted microphone.
I'm sorry, Thomas, I was not talking to muted microphone. I was struggling with my phone to be able to unmute myself. I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
Sebastian Bachelet for the record. Maybe it's not the right place to say that, but I feel very much that we need to be sure that we go from an expert discussion to a real large, I would say at large, discussion. It's a very tough to have inputs today because it's a very, very complex issue. And I hope that we will be able, during Buenos Aires, not to come just with it's what we think, but to try to have the input at least of the participants of Buenos Aires to give us their feedback. And it's very difficult because we have 100 pages in the CWG, we have 100 pages here too, and that's very difficult for, I would say, a normal participant. Then as much as we can do, change the discussion from expert to normal people, I will say, sorry for the expert, it will be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. But let me ask a follow-up question. Are you okay with the principle of slicing the workload into smaller portions that we try to see consensus on?
I have no problem with your proposal, Thomas. I was just referring to when we want inputs, we know that common period, it's one way to get them. I hope that Buenos Aires could be another way to get them by talking with community, by talking with the participants, because it's another way. But it's difficult to capture what it say because it's say by people. But it's very important way to have inputs, another way of inputs. We are struggling with the public comments since years, and we never solve it, and we will not solve it for our group now. But let's try to have other way of inputs and take them into account. But for your proposal, it's fine with me. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Yes, I mean, your concerns are well heard. We will take that back and further think about it. But it's good to hear confirmation that you also like the idea of making smaller portions of our work. Unless there are more comments on this approach, I would suggest that we close this agenda item and move to A or B, which actually you didn't find in the agenda, but that doesn't make it disappear. There was one point for A or B that we wanted to bring up, and that is the recent hearing, or actually the recent hearings in Congress in the U.S., where Steve Del Bianco has testified, and we thought that it might be worthwhile for the whole group to get a first-hand report from the man himself, from Steve. So, Steve, could you please take the floor?
I can do that, Thomas. It will only take a moment. I know it's quite late for many. Last Wednesday, the 13th of May, two U.S. congressional committees held separate hearings on the IANA transition and ICANN's general accountability. This is the fifth hearing since the transition announcement last March, and both of these hearings were held by committees that also held hearings last April. And I can tell you things have come a long way since last April, both in terms of what we've accomplished as well as, I think, a toned-down rhetoric between Congress and the administration. As one bit of background, many in Congress from both parties were very frustrated that they hadn't been consulted as they felt they should have been consulted when the administration made the decision to terminate the NTIA custody of the IANA contract. So initially there was a lot of frustration, and that surfaced last year, but it was a much more constructive hearing that was held in Commerce last Wednesday. It was 5 hours of total testimony. The first panel in the Judiciary Committee used its jurisdiction over intellectual property and consumer protection to put 8 witnesses up who talked about a variety of ways in which operational accountability at ICANN is perhaps not as good as it should be. They started with the registry policies, bless you. There was a discussion of .Amazon, online pharmacies, registrar accreditation agreement, and rights protection mechanisms. When a hearing like that comes together, we often have individuals who focus in on the complaints that they have and look to Congress to use some leverage to help remedy their complaints. I'm happy to say that many people focused on the fact that this group, this CCWG and the CWG, have come up with proposals that give the community a greater amount of power to question decisions and inaction on the part of management and the board, and that those are constructive ways that the community could in the future prevent some of the lack of operational accountability that we were hearing complaints about on Wednesday. At the second hearing in the Commerce Committee, and I pasted a link to that in the chat, this is the committee that has jurisdiction over the U.S. Commerce Department, and that's where NTIA lives. And they were much more focused on the transition. They wanted to understand what progress has been made towards meeting NTIA's criteria for the transition. They're also very vocal about their own criteria. This committee is also concerned that there might be national security implications for U.S. agencies like .mil and .gov. I realize that nearly every country has a mil and a gov, but most of them live, I should say all of them live at the second level of a country code, whereas for the U.S., of A, NO and GOV live at the root. And that, as I said to the committee, is a happy accident of having invented that aspect of the DNS. So NO and GOV are in the root, and this committee wanted to understand for sure that those would remain permanently under the custody of the departments of the government that have them today. There was also an office in Washington called the Government Accountability Office.
and we very rarely interact with the GAO, as it's called. But a year ago, this Commerce Committee chair decided to enlist the GAO at analyzing several risks and implications of the transition. You may recall that the co-chairs and others on this CCWG have been invited over the past several months to meet with GAO, and they asked some very probing questions, and they're well along in getting their report done. One element in the Commerce Committee was this notion that GAO would study all the proposals that come out of the CWG and CCWG and then take up to a year to come back with input to Congress. NetChoice, speaking for my group, we completely discouraged that approach. We said instead GAO, who's been working on this for several months, ought to weigh in now, over the next month, on what concerns they might have with risks and implications of the transition, so that we can take them into account as if they're public comments from interested parties. I actually think we got quite a bit of traction from that, and the other witnesses on that panel, many of whom are involved here on the work that we do, Matthew Shears from CDT, for instance, was a fellow witness on the second panel, and pushed hard on the exact same things. Jonathan Zook was a witness on the first panel, Phil Corwin as well, Steve Natalis. These are a lot of folks that you know, and they also hammered home the idea that we don't want to second-guess the transition proposals, but if Congress has concerns, they ought to surface them now. I think that it's also worth noting that with 13 total witnesses, when they were pressed, not a single one said that the transition of the IANA contract should be stopped or blocked, but all were unified at backing up a request that I made. I said to Congress to give your input now, and the biggest help that Congress could be is to insist that NTIA require ICANN to accept and implement the community's proposals before they transition the IANA contract, as Thomas described in the slides, and that means implement with oversight. Well, that was embraced as an idea by both committees, and I think it made it obvious that September of this year, September of 2015, seems a little too soon for us to ensure that all that is done prior to the contract. So then the final discussion turned to, well, how long is long enough? I offered my own estimate as early as next April and perhaps as late as late next summer, and that was picking up on the CCWG's timeline. So that's a summary. I hope that that gives you some sense. You can watch the video on the link I sent you, or you can even read the testimony, the written testimony that was submitted by witnesses. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Steve. That's very helpful indeed. Caboose has raised his hand. Caboose, please.
Yes, it was very helpful, but in addition to the video that Steve told us to watch, was there any transcription of what was discussed, and would it be possible that we have something, if possible, in a more written form? It was a very important, interesting question that was raised. That is one. Two, I had raised in two CCWG call some legal question, and Leon kindly took note of that, and he promised that we'd come back to that. Still, I'm waiting that either publicly in the CCWG call or in the mailing list or in any other way, I would have replied to those questions. And the third issue was the question that I raised and followed by Manal, that GAC is intending to have meeting with the CCWG and CWG co-chairs possibly. And then in that meeting, there is a necessity that we have the legal counsel being with us, and we need to have a confirmation whether that is considered and whether the legal counsel, they may be available in that GAC meeting to reply to questions which would be raised by the GAC members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Caboose. Steve, would you like to answer?
Only on the written part, Caboose, the two links that I put in the chat, and I'd be happy to email them, contain the written testimony of all 13 of the witnesses. It should also contain opening statements from the chairs. The videos are where you would learn what was said in the question and answer. The transcripts will be provided, but they will be a few weeks until they're ready. So I hope that that gives you a start. As to the rest of your question, I'll leave it to the chairs.
Thanks very much, Steve. And Caboose, with respect to the second point that you mentioned, i.e., questions from the GAC, we have reached out to Thomas as GAC chair to offer him a Q&A session where we would answer questions that the GAC might have. So that point has been picked up. A response is pending, but I trust that you will also make sure that there is communication between the GAC and our group, and that we're hopefully having such a session in the very near future. So I don't see any further hands raised, and with that, I would like to hand it over to Mathieu for closing remarks, and I think that we can even end this call early. What do you think, Mathieu?
Well, unless my closing remarks take too long, obviously we should be able to close early. I have two closing remarks based on this call. The first one is a reminder that we are in a public comment period and we need to keep listening, we need to keep engaging, for instance, with the GAC, but obviously with all communities and even outside of the ICANN community. And there's something I'd like to stress is please do report on your engagement efforts to the CCWG list. It is very valuable for everyone if we can share back, just like Steve did, the experience of presenting the CCWG interim report to our respective communities and what's the kind of questions we get, what's the type of concerns we get. That's extremely useful and important, so please do report. And it has to be a dialogue that's going to be helpful, because we should have as little surprises as possible in the comments we will receive, and hopefully there will be as little as possible comments that are actually misinformed or have not read the report correctly. So that's very important. Second closing remark is, as you have noticed, this call was, we spend a significant amount of time on preparing the next steps. It's also valuable that you take a little bit of your time and think about it as well, because this is really a planning investment, and it will pay back at least 10 times if we are well prepared before the next crunch time. You will remember that it's not comfortable to be in a crunch time and feeling that urgency is leading everything. So now is the time when we can actually avoid this feeling in the future. So please contribute to that as well. And I think that's going to be all for now. And I am already looking forward to our next call next week and for the various reports of your engagement sessions. And thank you for your participation today. Have a good night for some of you. Have a good day for others. And talk to you very soon. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.